So the big question is this. With over 10,000 different species of mushrooms, how do people that want to benefit from their various medicinal properties accurately identify them in the wild, grow them at home, or make them taste delicious without having to reach confusing medical reports and possibly eating a poisonous look-alike by mistake? That's the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Oliver Carlin, and welcome to Curated Mushroom. Hey, how's it going out there, my mushroom lovers? And welcome back to the Curated Mushrooms Podcast, Season 3, Episode 2, and I'm your host, Oliver Carlin. And today, we're going to be talking about the most important step in growing mushrooms at home. And that's getting the right supplies from the right place. And how do you know that? How do you know you're getting the right supplies? It's very confusing out there. So we're going to go into that, and we're going to make sure that you're starting with the right foundation, which is the most important part, is the actual supplies that you're going to be using. Now, in the previous episode, we kind of introduced Season 3. We did talk about why you would want to be here, right? Why would you even want to try mushrooms? You know, we shared multiple stories from different people and how they literally changed their life in as little as one dose. Now, yes, people do microdose and they do take smaller doses daily, myself included. And that does help also with daily, and just kind of builds on these mushrooms, just help us. Like we said, it seems like they just almost have, I was explained at the last episode, I don't really know what their limit is. You know, it's like whatever people decide they want to be healed, they end up being healed is what it seems to be. Now, like I said, we're going to be moving into the rest of the seasons about growing them out yourself. And the first and most important step is, well, how do I get my supplies safely, legally, discreetly shipped to my door without having to go to 10 different places and hop on the phone to process my credit card for some shirt that was supposed to be for spores or whatever, or use crypto or whatever? It seemed like the hardest part was just getting the supplies. So, you know, that's kind of how Curative Mushrooms really started. You know, if you really go back to the beginning, which was back in 2019, back then I was just, you know, I was like finishing up on my naval career, a retired chief in the Navy. And, you know, I was typing away on my off time. I was creating informational content about medicinal health benefits of mushrooms. And that's when people contacted me and they wanted to know the easiest and simplest possible way to just grow them at home without having to become a professional mycologist or whatever. Honestly, they just wanted the mushrooms, but they can't get them at the grocery store. So they're forced to have to grow their own, right? It's not like they want to. That's like, I have. The funny thing is, once you do grow them your own, it's like it reverses. All of a sudden, now I want to grow my own. It's not because I have to, right? Because it really is enjoyable, the whole process. Really, the healing with mushrooms starts with growing. It really does. It starts the moment you inject those spores into a bag. And when that happens, that's when the healing, to me, really starts. And it doesn't even end when you take the mushrooms. It continues on forever, right? The question was, well, how do we do it simply? So that's when we went on this long journey. So it sounded easy, you know, inject the grow bag and it grows, but turned out to be a little bit more challenging than that in the beginning times. You know, I remember trying to inject, right? So I'd have my grow bag and I'd have my spore syringe, and I'm not going to use any company names. Some of them are no longer in business. You know, you'd inject it and sometimes it would work and many times it wouldn't work. But, you know, you're so happy when it does work. Now, but why was that? Why was this huge problem with contamination? You know, I go on Reddit, and Reddit's like, hey, man, you got to buy this laminar flow hood. You can build your own, or it'll only cost you, you know, $1,000, $2,000. I'm like, what? I got to spend $1,000 on this 300-pound piece of equipment just so I can inject a grow bag? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, something is not right here. Mushrooms grow in the most dirty environments in the world. Why do I need to buy a $1,000 piece of equipment just so I can not get contamination? I'm like, this does not make any sense. You know, mushrooms are very resilient in nature. They can fight off just about anything. Nothing kills mushrooms. They're the longest living organism probably on the planet, honestly. They don't die. They just live on, right? Under the ground. There's like, it's the largest living organism on the planet is this honey fungus mycelium under the earth in Oregon. It's like, I think it's like 6 or 7 miles wide. And it's been around for no one even knows how long, right? But they tested one end of the 6 miles this way to another end 6 miles that way. They tested them, found out it's the same mushroom somehow growing that. It's literally the largest living organism on the planet. But I'm saying this because they're very resilient, right? They just don't die very easily. So why is it I'm getting all this contamination, green mold, blue mold, red mold, yellow mold, all kinds of weird looking things growing in my bag? Like, what is going on with this? Like, and I was pretty sure I was clean. Like, when they say be clean, they're like, okay, wipe alcohol on the bag, kill anything, 70% alcohol, inject the spore syringe. Like, this only one step there, and I'm pretty sure I followed it right. Why am I ended up with like 10 different colors in my bag? You know what I mean? And so that kind of led us on this long journey. I didn't know I was starting it, but I was. And it started us down this long journey of figuring out, well, how do we get success like 100% of the time instead of like 10% of the time, right? Like, how do we get to this point? And so, you know, we've done it several different ways. And I want to share this with you so you can understand what to look for if you're trying to get your supplies, right? So one way to do it was we use horse manure. And that was definitely a way to do it, I'll tell you. But don't use fresh horse manure just because that stuff is going to turn your house into smelling like a farm. I don't recommend it. But if you are going to use horse manure, we found that sun-leached, composted horse manure, 7 year old, between around 5 to 7 year old horse, thoroughbred horse manure. Is what we were using. There are some new technologies that we've seen we're testing, which is with these blocks of completely dehydrated, almost like cocoa coir in a block, which is coconut coir is coconut husk, that brown fuzzy stuff on the outside of a coconut. That's called coconut husk. They have these bricks of it. It's like compressed down. But anyway, they have these different things. If horse manure we tested and we had mixed results, and I don't know if it was the process we were using or the substrate. I would say this, from my experience, it was the process in which the substrate was created. So what does that mean? That means whatever you're using, I don't care if you're using spent coffee grounds, if you're using popcorn, oats, rye berries, master's mix, like whatever formula you decide to use. And but by the way, it's different in every area of the world. Normally, the formula of the bag that you're going to be using is really based on what resources are available in that area of the world, right? So, for example, if I'm in Australia, I might not use the same thing that they use, you know, in Japan. You know what I mean? Or if I'm in cow country in Texas, I might use something different. If I'm in Florida, whether you know Florida Keys or something, you know what I mean? Like, it depends where I'm at. Is going to determine what I put into my bag. So there's really nothing wrong with any of these, but what we did find is this. When we started looking into manure, we were like, wait a minute, what is it about manure that these happy mushrooms that do grow in manure, we call them manure-loving mushrooms, which a lot of us, if you don't know, there's certain types that grow in cow patties, and that's normally the one most people want to get, in case you didn't know. A lot of people spend all day looking in cow patties for these cow pastures where there's cow poop because they just grow in cow poop. And so it got me thinking, I was like, well, what the hell? What is it about cow poop that they like? And so when we really started digging deep, because we used to use manure, and when we dug deep on it, we found that it wasn't really the manure that the spores liked. You know what it was? It was the oats that they were eating from the hay and stuff, right? So these oats, what we did was, instead of taking them out of the poop, which is already processed oats, into this stinky manure stuff, which, by the way, is perfect temperature to incubate spores, which is why they probably like manure, because it was very warm. Perfect environment to incubate, right? And so you had the manure, right? But really, what was the nutrients inside that manure? Yes, it's warm, but what was the nutrients in that manure that the mushrooms specifically were searching for? So what we did is we tested the spores to just oats, like premium oats that the cows were eating, and they loved it. Wow. They actually grew better on the oats than they did on the manure. And we're like, wait a minute. So maybe we've been looking at this all wrong. You're telling me that I don't need manure for these types of mushrooms, even though we all thought they needed it because they grew naturally in manure. And so we're like, wait a minute. So what we ended up doing was we were trying to grow these things out on these oats, because oats are available here in Texas because of all the cow fields out here. Oats were very sustainably attainable in this area, very easy to get, right? We got the oats and we injected it, and we're getting mixed results at the beginning, but overall was doing better than the manure. So we're like, well, shoot, we need to get rid of the manure. But we needed to dial in the oats more, because we're like, well, why the heck are we still getting these mixed results? Because sometimes we get stalled bags. Sometimes we'd still get contamination, even though the bag was just sitting for 5 days. And we didn't even inject anything into it. So we had all these things. And so we'd reach out to people, like, thank God for the owner of Unicorn Bags, Lou. He's like, this guy's been around. He came into our shop. He brought this massive commercial grade autoclave in, and he gave us some amazing pointers, not to mention our team of mycologists that are already working around the clock trying to figure out the right way to do this. Lou looked at it and gave some invaluable advice. And he's like, you know, I'll share some of that stuff. A lot of the things we do at Cured of Mushrooms is a proprietary process, because it took us so much time to, you know, develop it and test it. A lot of time, a lot of money in it. But I want you to be able to have success. This isn't about me keeping secrets. It's about me sharing them with you today so that you can have success if you're getting wherever you're getting your supplies from. What we ended up finding out in the process of just the grow bags, keep in mind, we haven't even talked about genetics for spores yet. We're just talking about the grow bags, what they like to eat, which is basically, think of a grow bag as just mushroom food. That's all it is. It's literally food, and you could eat it yourself. It's oats. But what we ended up finding out, it wasn't the nutrients. Like, you could take oats yourself, put them in a bag, and I can take the same oats, put them into my bag, I can grow great mushrooms, but you won't, even though it's the same nutrients. But why? So what we found out was, it's actually the way that the food itself is prepared. Believe it or not, the mushrooms are very picky by the chef that's preparing that food. So think of us as like expert freaking mushroom chefs at Cured of Mushrooms. Like, we know, we're like, We've like been feeding these mushrooms so long that we know exactly their sweet tooth, right? We know what they want, and we know how to give it to them, right? And that's what we've been specializing in, and that's what you're about to do, right? So what we learned was, there was a time when we were actually cooking the oats, and we didn't mean to, but we were boiling them for too long, and we're actually cooking them, which was actually depleting the nutrients. So we went from cooking oats to hydrating the oats. Very different process. Doesn't remove the nutrients, but fills the oats with the field capacity they need of moisture content. Because if you look at an oat by itself, it's a very hard thing. It's hard to squeeze. But as soon as it's a hydrated oat, like, think of a hydrated oat as some oats that it rained and they soaked in the water for a while. And now they soaked up that water. And now if you squeeze that oat, it kind of smushes together and turns white, right? So again, not smushy oats. They look just like normal oats. But when you squeeze them a little bit, you'll see that you can squeeze them a little easier. Hydrating instead of cooking the nutrients, right, is one important piece. Because When it comes to these bags, I'm telling you, moisture content is so, so critical. You have to get the moisture content. If you're off by your field capacity level of measuring moisture in your different layers, we're talking about oats, but then you've also got the next layer, which is CBG, which we'll talk about in a second. But the moisture content, I'm telling you, if it's off, the whole pH level of the bag will be off and bacteria will grow instead of what you want to grow. And you'll get mushy oats and it just becomes a breeding ground for everything you don't want. So we found the amount of water that's mixed with your nutrients is so important. It really is, because you got to keep in mind this same food that you're trying to feed to the mushrooms. Imagine you're putting this food down and you got like 10 dogs at home that are starving. And they're Rottweilers, right? They're starving. And you put that bowl of food down in the middle of the kitchen and there's 10 Rottweilers that go diving into that bowl, man, killing each other for that food, right? I want you to imagine that that's what's happening when the moisture content's off, because as soon as this bag and everything we're creating becomes a breeding ground for any other type of food, any other type of bacteria or mold, not just your mushrooms. So the key really was to keep that moisture content spot on. So it took a while to dial that in. Then, that's the oats. The CBG, let's talk about this for a second. So the second layer that goes into like an all-in-one bag, and if we talk about an all-in-one bag for a second, what is an all-in-one bag? Why do we call it all-in-one? Does that mean everything's in it? The spores too? Or like, what does that even mean? Where did the name all-in-one even come from? Well, all-in-one comes from, you have to know a little bit of the history in the mycology world for growing mushrooms, the myco world. And it comes from because the most popular way to grow manure-loving happy mushrooms was dub tubs. Dub tubs is this little shoebox, clear plastic shoebox tote with a lid on it. And you'd put this layer, you'd put the layer of oats, and then on the top layer would be this CBG layer that would almost look like the top of the ground, right? It'd be about an inch thick. And you push it down, and that was your casing layer. And so dub tubs actually had two layers, but they were two different bags. Like, you'd inject the oat bag separately. It would grow out into this white mycelium, and you'd mix it in the dub tub with the CBG. Well, what the all-in-one bag is it combines the CBG as a separate layer in the same bag. That's huge, you realize, because now you don't have to take anything out of the bag. As soon as you take something out of the bag, now it's contaminated. If we can keep everything in that bag as a beginner, that means you don't have any chance of contamination because that bag is clean. So that was a big step from going from dub tubs to a bag and combining all the nutrients into one bag. But the key was the delivery system, right? So if we have it all in one bag and one layer, the top layer is the oats, very important that the top layer is the oats. If the oats are the bottom layer, that CBG layer will actually suffocate the oats and cause it to not grow. Stall bag issue, because they can't get any oxygen. And mushrooms breathe oxygen just like humans and breathe out carbon monoxide just like humans. So they need oxygen a little bit, not like tremendous. They're microscopic when they start growing, but as they get bigger, they'll need more, right? So we have, the oats and the CBG layer, right? And we combine them into the same bag. Now, why would we do that? What is CBG? CBG is cocoir, vermiculite, and gypsum. Those are three ingredients. We don't even really use gypsum. I don't anymore. We used to. So, but we still call it CBG because that's the acronym, but you don't really need gypsum. Gypsum is just another type of nutrient, just like oats. And it's kind of a supplement. It's a powder. And you put this white powdered nutrient into the cocoir and the gypsum. Cocoir, like I said earlier, is just coconut husk. This brown fuzzy stuff on the outside of a coconut literally has zero nutrients. No nutrients at all. The mushrooms will find no nutrients and will die eating that because there's no nutrients, right? They need something like a grain or an oat that has nutrients in it so that it can, that's what it's looking for, is nutrients. So why do we fill a bag with non-nutrient substrate? Like a big, half the bag is no nutrients. It's got CBG, and then it's got vermiculite, which is some type of a stone that absorbs water and literally has no nutrients. It just provides aeration in the bag. But if you combine these two into this, like, why do that? Well, what we found was, couldn't you just fruit a bag with just oats? Yeah. But it may not grow as good and as fast as you would like, right? So to maximize that, what we found was, when you add that second layer of CBG, what we do is, so we inject the spores into the oat layer, which is half the bag, in the self-healing injection port, okay? You inject it there. You follow, you know, the sterile practices that we're going to talk about in the next video. But when you inject that into the oats, what ends up happening here is that CBG layer underneath mixes with the oats. So the oats will colonize and we'll mix that, and that'll become fully white. We'll get into more of that later. But once that oats is colonized with the mushroom mycelium, then we mix that with the CBG. So what happens here, I want you to visualize this. So imagine you're a mushroom, okay? And you are like, you're eating some food and it's so good. Like, you're full, like, you're stuffed. You're like, oh God, I'm eating good, bro. This is some good food. And look, it's everywhere. Look around, bro. There's food everywhere. We don't got to worry for a while, guys. Hey guys, let's just take it easy, man. So what happens when the mushrooms got too much food is they get lazy, kind of like us, like humans. We just get lazy because we got everything we need. But what happens when the oats are fully eaten and then you mix that with the CBG, now that same mycelium is like, oh, here's more food. And they go to bite into it and like, uh-oh, guys, there's no nutrients. And so then they start growing really fast. And they go faster and they're trying to find nutrients. And then they reach the end of the bag and like, oh, shit, there's no nutrients. What are we going to do? And then their survival instinct kicks in. They're like, produce mushrooms and drop spores. Now, go. And so now they just start growing, like pin after pin after pin. And these mushrooms are filling up this bag. And so that's the secret of the second CBG layer. But again, the field capacity to dial these things in an all-in-one bag, when you got two different types of food, you have to maintain two different levels of field capacity. And at the very end, this has to be autoclaved at a certain level of PSI for like an hour and a half, right? So you have to autoclave it, which autoclave is basically pressure cooking at like 100. I can't remember what we do. I was going to say, I think we're at like 150 PSI right now. No, God, 150. I'm thinking 150 degrees. PSI is like 18 to 20 PSI is what we currently, I think we're around 18 PSI, and that gets it to around 150, 200 degrees. Because the more pressure you cook, what happens in a pressure cooker is it heats with pressure, and that heat with the pressure allows it to penetrate to the very middle of every single oat and kill any potential thing of bacteria, while at the same time not killing the nutrients. So, because we didn't cook it. So a lot of these things have to be done so perfect. If you mess up any of these steps, it can just have a devastating impact on your growth. You can have stalled bags. You can just get mushy oats. Like, we've seen it all, and we've kind of been through it through the years. But what I will say is this, that's just the bag, right? When we get into the genetics of the spore syringe, that's even a whole nother animal. Like, now we got to figure out, well, how do we get a spore syringe, right, that's not contaminated? Because think about it like this. When you collect spores from a mushroom, the mushrooms still have to grow. Even if we grow those mushrooms in 100% clean grade room, you know, with HEPA grade filters everywhere, new airflow, everything, those mushrooms are still in open air. You can never like 100% be sure that you're going to collect super clean spores every single time, because you have to make contact with the mushroom. Now, we have figured out ways to collect them where we don't get contamination as much, almost to the point where we're at 95% success rate, but it requires a very specific process. Like, you need special equipment so that you can mix the spores evenly per spore solution. So that way, every milliliter of a spore syringe has a certain number of spores in it. Very important step. But then they need to be collected in a clean room, grown in a clean room. And when they're collected, the mushroom is elevated off of the foil where it's dropping the spores so that it never actually makes, the gills never actually make contact with the thing that's collecting the spores. Then you have to test it, right? You test your batch. Once you're done making it, you wait, you let the batch sit there, and then you test it and see if it's contaminated. So there's a lot of things that go into making sure that, one, you got fresh genetics, because if genetics, and when I say genetics, I'm talking about mushroom genetics, like spores and stuff, or liquid culture is another thing. Yeah, that's a very important step in getting the right genetics. So we spent a lot of time trying to source those things from the right place. And so we only use the top vendors and stuff like that. So that, and those, and if you get a kit from us, you would know that these certain things come from different places, but it's all streamlined into like one, you click one button, you get everything, but they come from different places, different communication channels, but you know you're getting the right stuff. You know what I mean? You're getting the best stuff that's going to have success. And so really, at the end of the day, sourcing the right supplies is crucial. You can get some from Curative Mushrooms. You get some from our company, Curative Mushrooms, where we offer, you know, the Shroom Bomb grow bags and also a grow kit and a microscopy kit. So you can get all of these supplies legally and safely. But there's also other places too. And you may decide that, you know, you want to try something else. And so we're not going to limit you. We're going to show you basically wherever you're getting them from. Here's the one thing I need to tell you. So let's say you got a grow bag. Okay, you get your grow bag, right? You got it. You figured out the place you're going to get it. You got your all-in-one grow bag ready to go. And then you figured out where to get your spore syringe. They both look great, but what do you do now? And so what we developed in those scenarios is a special technique that you can use to 100% guarantee that that spore syringe is clean, non-contaminated, and has viable spores for less than a couple bucks. Doesn't that sound cool? So for less than a couple bucks, you have a way of testing that spore syringe right in your house and knowing if it's good right before you ever inject it into a grow bag. So on, stay tuned for next episode. Make sure you like and subscribe this podcast, because in the next episode is where we're going to dive into that. I'm going to reveal to you, after you get your supplies, the number one most important step to do to make sure that you have success without contamination. My goal for you is to have success. At the end of this podcast, I want you to have success. Now, we do have a growing mushroom growers challenge that's going on right now inside of Curative Mushrooms community in a private Discord group where people can join discreetly and anonymously and attend live calls where we actually do go live. So if you go to Curative Mushrooms, you can learn more about that. Again, over the next couple episodes, you're going to have all the tools and resources that you need so that basically you'll have, even if you've never grown anything before in your life, you're going to be able to lock in all of the amazing health benefits that we spent a lot of time talking about in episode one. You're going to be able to experience those finally, safely, and discreetly in the privacy of your own home. However you feel around the ones you trust and feel the closest to. And so you're going to have all of that. And lastly, the legal disclaimer, again, certain mushrooms are considered illegal by the federal government. For example, psilocybin is Schedule 1 substance in the federal government. So we don't intend for this podcast to be used for the purpose of violating federal law, okay? That being said, you are a grown adult. I feel that you do deserve to know what you're legally allowed to do and also hear stories from people that are experiencing things that could also help you. So does that sound fair? So great. So again, stay tuned for the next episode where we're going to talk about the number one most important thing that you need to do before you ever inject that grow bag. All right, guys. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here. And again, we'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.